Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies, Crop Metcalf. You're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sauville, and Jason Bishop. Coming up in 20 minutes, our pal Charlie Casserly, former Redskins and Texans GM, will join
us. Yeah,
let's
get his take. People are texting me, and they're saying that the refs blew some the game because of some of those calls. The last thing I'm doing is blaming the refs for that loss. Mm-hmm. That's the last thing I'm doing.
Which calls? The pass interference?
Well, the Kittle. Yeah, the Kittle. And then the refs probably missed an offsides on the third and when they called the false start on Staley.
Maybe the last interception.
Shanahan went bananas on that particular call.
Should have been a delay of game on the last interception. So it shouldn't have been a play.
Yeah, but it just backs him up even more.
I actually thought I thought his foot was on the line there. It was tough, but I thought his foot was on the line.
I guess they would have a decision to be 4 inches.
When Williams scored?
No. I can't remember who it was. Yeah, maybe it was. Yeah, when Williams scored.
Yeah, it was Williams. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a third down play, so it would have been 4 inches.
Yeah.
Probably punched it in.
Well, yeah, you can't guarantee that, though.
Can't guarantee that.
49ers lost that game offensively, defensively, and the coaching staff.
What I understand is how they had a million cameras there, and then
they don't have that perfect angle.
Yeah, and you can't have a down-the-line shot of that.
They had like it from above.
Yeah, and you couldn't really tell if it was in or not.
Yeah. I don't blame them for not overturning it, but.
So that's what some people are texting. You can always text Jason, I'll say. Text the fan, it says on the read, but it's really text Jason on the Tom Scrivener's Windows text machine. 1-800-636-1067. Standard message data charges may apply. You can always tweet us at Junks Radio. We'll get back to the Super Bowl at 7:20 with Charlie Casserly and maybe talk about what the Redskins should be doing in the offseason. I know a lot of people were saying, particularly in the first half when the 49ers pass rush was really effective, that's why you have to take Chase Young because it's so valuable to be able to just rush four guys and get after
the quarterback. Definitely was.
Definitely is. So we'll get talk to Casserly about that coming up at 7:20. But Eric came in this morning back from Minneapolis. I guess he didn't get home till
1 a.m. I'm tilted because on my ticket it said we were supposed to arrive at like 11:50 or something. But the problem is that was Minneapolis, our Chicago time.
Central time.
Yeah, so I couldn't. Your ticket should say the time of the place that you arrive. In other words, so if you arrive in the Eastern time zone or whatever, it should say the Eastern time.
Yeah, I generally agree with that.
I mean?
It usually does. I'm surprised your ticket said that.
Well, that's how I read it. I just know when I landed, I was distraught that it was basically 11:50 p.m. I thought it was going to be around 10:50.
Right.
And when I looked down, I was like,
I mean, if you fly East Coast to West Coast, your ticket always says the West Coast time when you land.
That's what I thought, Jason. I'm telling you.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was weird to me. I was thrown. So anyway, got home 1 o'clock. I couldn't believe what happened on the second day of a three-day tournament. So just give you the lay of the land. Like softball, I'm sure, all these other sports, soccer and everything. Mm-hmm. You have volleyball tournaments every weekend. And they happen all over the country. And some of them are larger than others. This one that we did in, where the hell was I? Minneapolis.
Yes.
Was a national qualifier. So it's a little bit more tension. There's hundreds of teams there. Mm-hmm. Everybody's good. It's crazy. And parents putting pressure on kids. Kids are feeling pressure. It's in the year where everyone's trying to get recruited and everything. It's crazy. So we're out there in Minneapolis. We'd already played a couple tournaments, like warm-up tournaments in Raleigh and in Hampton Roads. And you're playing teams from all over the country. And on the second day, it got crazy. I couldn't believe how crazy. In fact, there was drama on the first day, but I won't even bore you with that story.
How's the setup? I don't really know. Like for a volleyball,
so you go to a convention center. The convention
center.
It's
just a lot of noise and whistles and stuff like that.
Yes. There's 60, 70,
so
80, 100 courts.
So you're watch your kids' team, like, what is there, like 50 people watching on a court, 20 people watching on a court?
I'm glad you said that. Yeah, so there might be, I'd say 50 to 60. Just imagine a convention center with, like, say, 80 courts.
Because a volleyball team has how many players? 12?
10 to 13,
so then,
10 to
so
14.
Just the parents are there.
And then the teams
standing
that are waiting
up around the courts.
They have chairs usually all around. Chairs. So you got the teams on one side, and then the opposite side, you have parents. And then at the baseline, you have parents that like to sit on baseline sometimes. And you have, like kids that are going to play in the next match, or kids that are waiting to play, and their parents are waiting to play. So there's always a lot of people.
But it's not like there are stands. You know,
maybe in the finals. Maybe in the finals.
Like my nephew just played at MedStar Iceplex on Saturday night. His New Jersey team against Minicaps. There you got tons of stands. You know what I mean?
There's only two rinks there. There's a lot. There's a lot less.
Yeah, no.
People.
These are like 100 courts.
Is, right.
100 courts. And it's just people sit in the chairs and people stand behind the chairs. And like you say, there might be 50, 60 people at each court. Right. Okay. So we're playing a match against this team from Texas. And it's a tight match. That team had went 3-0 the day before. We had gone 3-0 the day before. And it's very important. You want to get into the gold bracket because everyone's competing for two national bids, right? So you got hundreds of teams there, and the top two teams in your division will get to go to nationals at the end of the year. So that's the whole thing. So you play 7 or 8 national qualifiers throughout the season, and the whole thing is you're trying to get a national bid. So there's a lot of tension there. And we're playing a tight match against this Texas team. And all of a sudden, all happening. I'm not realizing what's going on. One of the dads gets called out by the ref. And then the other ref.
On your team or the other team?
One of the dads on the other team. I don't even know what's going on because I've never seen it before. Where the other ref that happens to be another coach from another team. So what happens is you have your official ref and then your second ref called your down ref. Is a coach from a team that's not playing. They help officiate.
So did the official ref call him out or the down ref?
I think the official, but the down ref knew what was going on because it had happened in their match. So one of the parents said something to the ref. The ref said something to the down ref. The down ref ran over to the parent who was baseline. I got a picture of this.
That was the parent, a mom or a dad?
A dad.
Okay.
Pretty big guy, too.
Right.
He's standing there. He's got his backpack on. And let me give you the scenario, how this generally works. In volleyball, so your team's on one side. Generally, all the parents go to the one side where your team is playing. And then after that, so you play best out of three. When your team wins or loses that first match, the first set, then they all switch. All the parents get up, they pick their backpacks up, and they walk over to the other side of the court.
Right.
And they sit by their kids on that side.
It's just weird.
It's the nature of the sport. So you don't just sit in one spot for the whole match. You sit on the side your team is playing. That's just what parents like to do. They like to sit near their kids. Some don't. Some stay.
Right.
But what you never see is a parent, I've never really seen it before, sit on the opposite baseline facing their kids.
Oh, yeah. So they're on the side of the opponent.
Yes.
Right.
You almost never see that. Like, you might be on the baseline, but you'd be on the baseline of where your kid is playing.
Right, right.
So this parent was on the opposite baseline.
Baseline behind the server?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
So behind the server, serving to his daughter's team was over there, right? Far away. So you can't even really see his daughter's team that well because they're on the other side of the net.
Yeah.
So this dad got called out because he was a parent. He was Houston Astros. So what happens in volleyball is before each serve, the coach, I'll demonstrate this for NBC Sports Washington. So if my team is playing right here, right, and the other dad is over here. So my team is right here. The opposing team's dad is there.
You're confusing me. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry. Just
bear
with me.
I think I get
just
the
bear
picture.
With me. I will tell the server. Signals. I will tell the server one. Mm. That they hide their shirt. And they say where to serve, or five. And that means what spot on the court.
Okay.
So that dad was then signaling to
it.
His kids.
Right.
He was going like that.
Right.
Well, they are from Texas.
Yeah.
The team was from Texas.
Exactly.
A bunch of cheaters.
Houston. Was he from Houston?
No, it wasn't from Houston, though. Because there were some Houston kids who were great.
Right.
And that's just the no-no at that age.
Huge
level.
No-no.
Yeah, yeah.
Huge no-no. Right? So he gets called out on it. And meanwhile, I don't know what's going on.
Who called him out? The ref?
One of the refs. Yeah. Went
so
over to him. He's going like this. Like this. You could tell he's. And he didn't give him the finger yet, but you could tell he was pissed. And I was like, why are they calling that dad out? I don't get it.
The ref stopped the game?
Yes.
So, like, completely
Stop the game. They go over, talk to the guy because he got called out for cheating. And then apparently he kept doing it.
Oh, he should be immediately thrown out of the venue.
I still didn't understand what was going on. I'm just oblivious. I'm taking pictures. I still can't quite figure out what's going on. Because, by the way, I've never seen that before. Mm-hmm. So the match ends. Luckily, our girls win. We beat the cheaters, mm-hmm. right? And then as the girls are shaking hands, our coach walks by him and says, "You should be ashamed of yourself." Uh-huh. Well, that's, you know.
That lit the fuse.
That set things off, right? I don't blame him for saying that, by the way.
The coach was right.
Don't blame him, but it's unnecessary.
Well, I think they were both talking. I think everybody was talking.
Okay? Was there a tournament director notified, or was just the ref telling
Eventually. Okay. So they start walking away. This guy's heated. Apparently, one of the moms said he'd been drinking. He had one of those cups, and he had been drinking the whole time. Yeah. He had been drinking all day.
Sounds like a real winner.
You could smell the alcohol on his breath.
Right.
All right. Now, I'm high-fiving the parents going, "That's a great win." Like, I was just excited. I didn't know what was going on. They're like, "It serves them right. Cheaters should never win." Mm-hmm. And I go, "What?" So then the parents start explaining to me what's going on. And as I see, all of a sudden, I look over. Now I'm like, now I understand what's going on. I look over, and the big guy, I see him and the coach, they start jawing at each other as they're walking back away to our little corner to have our little team meeting after the win. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I see this dude. He's not going to let the coach have the last word. So he gets pissed. Mm. And I see him. He gets that look. He got the cake's face. And he starts walking with the cake's face going over there. And then the assistant coach, this young girl, God bless her, she goes, "Go away, go away, go away." She's trying to get the girls away from this maniac.
Right, right.
And I see what's happening. And I know if he confronts our coach, I know our coach, he's a young guy, he's likely to get after it.
Right. Him.
So I have to go immediately. They start effing. Now, I don't think our coach cursed, but other guys started saying, "F you, you got something to say, say it to my face, let's go outside." Like, the whole nine. Right. Like, this is embarrassing. I can't believe what's happening. So I get in front, right in front of the guy, and I'm thinking, if this guy swings, he's drunk. Uh-huh. If he swings, it's going to hurt. Yeah. Like, this is really going to hurt me if he swings. I get right in front of the guy, and I go, "Walk away. Walk away." And then all the other dads, they start to see what's coming. And we got another guy who like played Major League Baseball. Right. He comes over and he says, "Hey, guy, you need to beat it." Right. He told him to beat it.
Scram!
Does he have any LaFons?
He told him he needed to beat it.
Play some Michael Jackson now.
And then there were like five dads. Now this guy,
idiot have any backers? Or is it
just him. He was a lone wolf. Right. So if it wouldn't have ended up great for him if he started swinging. It would have hurt me the first swing. Definitely would have hurt me. But
it was 5-on-1.
We would have been 5-on-1. So luckily, thank God, he turned around. He said, "F you, F you," and like cursing. But it was like, you're so embarrassing. I couldn't believe how he was embarrassing himself.
His daughter had to be mortified.
Then he did the walk of shame away. Oh. And then, you know, people are screaming at him like, "You cheater, you piece of garbage," or whatever. I couldn't believe he never turned around one more time. But it was, I'm telling you, seconds away from going down.
Well, he realized that he was outnumbered.
Well, he's a giant loser.
If
he's just that bent on winning, he has to cheat for his
cheating,
daughter's
and
high
then he
school
was going
to
attack the coach.
What a loser!
I literally couldn't believe what was happening here. I mean, this is going to be on the news.
Hey, beat it, kid. Beat it. Hit the bricks out of the gym. Scram. Scram.
The one dad that said that, like, he played big league baseball.
Right.
But he's a really quiet guy.
Yeah.
But he got up to him and he said, "You need to beat it."
Right.
It was great. But and it threw me for probably 2 days that's how competitive it is that dads are cheating.
Yeah.
It wasn't just I could tell later. I thought it was just a rogue dad, but the dad was talking to the coach. Like, it was a whole organized thing. We had parents later came up to us and said, "Oh, yeah, we play that team. They're known for that."
Right.
Yeah. Things get
They're known for that.
And you're on a different level. That's travel sports here in Minneapolis. But I just coach a flag football team that we don't even practice during the week. It's just like on Saturdays, but in the championship game, the other team had a DJ. Like, they brought their own music, like DJ during the game, like music. Yeah. And it was, I remember a referee, just a 12-year-old kid, said, this is the most intense game I've ever part of.
Right.
Yeah. He might have been 15.
But... Yeah.
No, I mean, some of these parents just act crazy. I mean, we saw it in softball for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, just grilling the umps. The umps are 75-year-old guys getting paid $25 a game.
Right. Oh, I know.
I mean, they can barely see the ball.
They're screaming at the refs.
The parents are just killing these refs.
Pedro's not 75.
All right, he's one of the younger ones. Believe me. But... some of these parents are just psycho, man.
Yeah.
They're just nuts. But it doesn't help. He's got a tumbler full of vodka tonic.
Yeah, yeah, definitely didn't help. You could smell the alcohol in his breath, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, anyway, I thought that was interesting. I couldn't believe it almost went down. Like, that's as close as I've ever come to a youth league
it's
going
about
down.
To go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But luckily he was outnumbered.
And did you qualify for Nationals?
Came up just short. Just short. But we've got like 6 or 7 other tournaments.
Well, if you cheated, you would have qualified.
Yeah, we should have cheated. We should have cheated.
Oh, you just keep teeing up tournaments? Oh, that's so much money.
Well, I mean, no, we already know the schedule.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Eric's going to be away for 9 consecutive weekends, I believe.
No, this weekend's Poughkeepsie.
Yeah. You're going up to Marist this weekend. Yeah. Yeah. And then you got all kinds of you're going to spend some cash.
It's a lot of money, but I try not to think about it, Jason.
I know, I would, but I did the same thing. I was away for 5, 6, 7 straight weekends.
Yeah. We
never went to Minneapolis.
Yeah. It's pretty much every weekend I'll be until about like June.
Mm-hmm.
It's the blessing of my son just doing I-9 sports. At the most, I drive to Germantown. I'm either in Gaithersburg or Germantown.
I'm stressing out today because Virginia Tech plays Penn State in football next year, September 12th.
Okay.
And none of the hotels in Blacksburg opened up their rooms until the official football schedule came out.
All right.
Okay. Now, even though you know who they were playing, you just didn't know the dates and the times. So none of these hotels, and there's not enough hotels in Blacksburg. They need like 3 more. And none of these hotels opened up the rooms until today.
So it's a mad scramble.
I called 2 different hotels. They said, call at noon.
Right.
We're opening up our rooms at noon today. And everyone in Blacksburg, every Tech fan in D.C., mm-hmm. every Penn State fan in State College, they're all going to call today at noon.
Right.
And I'm going to be playing golf. I told my wife, I said, you have to call these hotels right at noon. If you call at 12:30, we're screwed.
Yeah, you're boned.
Mm-hmm. We won't have a room.
Mm-hmm. You won't open up at a hotel in Blacksburg. Make some money.
No, we'll not do that. But there's just not enough rooms.
Can you imagine how stressed he'd be if he was fronting money for a hotel?
No chance.
Just start a bed and breakfast. You can do that. Teresa would like that.
Just buy an Airbnb.
She's already got like all the antique furniture.
I hope she is on top of it and gets us a room today.
All right, coming
up next.
Put
a lot of pressure on her.
Yes. We're going to get back to the Super Bowl. Our pal Charlie Casley, former Redskins and Houston Texans general manager, now with the NFL Network, joins us here on The Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Up on the roof. Up on the roof. When this
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotlines, our buddy Charlie Casserly, now an analyst on the NFL Network and NBC Sports Washington. Of course, he used to be the GM of the Redskins and the Houston Texans. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Hello, Charlie.
I saw you right after the game with Terrell Davis doing the post-game stuff. immediately after, because you're kind of like thinking about what happened there in the fourth quarter, do you fall in that department where you blame Kyle Shanahan? Because a lot of people are. If you look at the fourth quarter, with 12 minutes to go, they pick off Mahomes. They're up 20-10, and then they only run the ball five more times.
No, I don't blame Kyle Shanahan. Honestly, that's just piling on a guy. Okay, first of all, in the Super Bowl in Atlanta, yeah, he should have run the ball three times, but the head coach is in charge of game management. He should have made him do it. And then Matt Ryan was the reason they got sacked twice.
Right.
He should have thrown both balls to get guys open. So, but no, what happens last night is for most of the game, the 49ers secondary was able to do what they wanted to do, keep the receivers in front of them and let the pass rush take over, okay? The reality is San Francisco's pass rush protected a weak group of corners, period. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what happens is on the big play to Hill, a corner blows the coverage.
Yep.
All right, and you got the guy running free against the safety. Well, the safeties aren't going to cover Hill. So that's the first big play. Now, Kyle Shanahan has nothing to do with a blown coverage by a player, okay? And it was something that they had practiced, and the player blew the coverage, okay? Again, weakness at corner. Then you turn it around. Bosa had been killing him all night. Well, they finally give Bosa help by keeping Kelce in, okay? And then luckily they bring Damon Williams over to handle a blitzing linebacker, and that's the play they beat Sherman on. Because
mm-hmm.
Sherman can't cover Watkins. It's too much speed, see?
Yep.
And then they go right back to Kelce, which they hadn't done enough. And Kelce gets a pass interference in the end zone because the receiver can't cover him. So it's bang, bang. So he has nothing to do with that. And then Garoppolo, the obvious one is he misses Sanders for a touchdown. But he had a third down, I think, in five. And from television, Kittle's wide open. There's no question Kittle's wide open. And why Kittle wouldn't be the number one target on third down, I have no idea. But he takes the ball and throws it out in the flat. So Shanahan had nothing to do with the loss at all. I mean, that's just ridiculous. So
I'm going to disagree a little bit. I think there's equal blame. I'm sorry, Charlie. At the end of the first half, when you have an opportunity to get the ball back with a minute and a half or three, you can't coach scared. I'm sorry. You've got to get the ball back and try and get downfield and score as many points as you can. And he decided not to. Now, I know he threw the ball to Kittle there, and that's a questionable PI call, but they ran the ball twice, didn't use any timeouts, and they burned all that clock. I think if you go down the field, maybe you get a field goal. Who knows? And then you're up 13-10 at half, and who knows what happens in the second half. So I'm not going to completely blame Shanahan, no doubt. I agree with you on the defensive side, but I think he had something to do with it.
Well, the question was in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
You know, and you could look at the end of the first half exactly the way you looked at it, and you can look at the Kittle play exactly the way San Francisco did. They shouldn't have made the call. Now, here's what's interesting about the call. It was pass interference, technically, okay?
Okay.
But in the first half of the season, they never would have called that.
Right.
And they somehow changed how they called it in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I read Kittle had only been called for one offensive PI in his entire career.
Yeah.
Until last night.
No, it was a close call. So it was a touchdown to Damon Williams.
Yes, yes.
And really, there was no way of saying that was a touchdown or not. To me, that was, hey, we called the touchdown. There's not enough to overturn it.
But
if you had called that not a touchdown, you wouldn't have made a touchdown on replay.
But you're right on the you're up 20-10 with 9.5 minutes to go. You got the ball. That's just an epic collapse. It just is. I mean, you can't lose that game. And then you're still up by 3 with 6 to go. And you're kind of built for that with the way they can run and just drain clock. And like you said, Garoppolo just didn't make the plays. They needed a couple plays from him, and he just didn't make it.
Is this a fatal flaw sort of in Garoppolo that we're seeing, or is it just a tough game for him?
Time will tell if he gets better. The book on Garoppolo is if you take away the first read, the underneath route primarily, because that's what they do, the crossing route, he'll hold the ball. And he'll have trouble going, you know, figuring out what to do from there. I mean, that just shows in the film. It's what defenses will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what happened on the play. He didn't throw to Kittle over the middle, in the third and five. Deep ball, he wasn't a great deep ball thrower when he came out of college as far as accuracy, but he got better. And that's a tough play. I mean, that's not a high percentage throw now, he missed.
Right.
So, but no, Garoppolo needs to take a step up. the difference between him and Mahomes, there's a big difference there. Now, there's a difference between Mahomes and a lot of quarterbacks, too.
Right.
Now, Charlie, you're getting back to the third and 15 to Hill. You're right, Mosley.
Third and five.
No, I'm talking about
it was third and five.
I'm talking about third and 15.
The first half.
The Tyreek Hill. No, second half, when it's 20 to 10.
You're right. Okay, the blown coverage.
Yeah, it's the blown coverage. You're right, because that's Mosley, the corner, and he was a backup for most of the year. He actually took over the starting spot for Witherspoon, who wasn't very good either. I totally agree with you. The corners were a liability. And then on the pass interference to Kelsey, all Moore has to do is turn around and look at the ball, and they probably don't call that. And then they're kicking a field goal, and you're tied instead of allowing that touchdown. Secondary blew those two plays. They just did.
Well, and then Sherman gets beat.
Yep, and Sherman, correct.
And he took responsibility for it after the game. But, you know, Sherman is not a fast guy, and Watkins is a fast guy. And Sherman is not quite as good as he used to be. And, you know, Sherman made a comment about we stayed, you know, deep during the game. We played discipline. And, you know, on that play, Sherman is blaming himself on technique. He'd have to be a lot deeper and start running faster to be able to stay with Watkins.
Hey, real quick, getting back to the end of the first half, and I kind of threw this out there when we were talking about it earlier in the show. Do you think that Shanahan has 100% trust in Garoppolo? Is that why he just ran the clock out and didn't want to take shots at the end of the first half?
Well, his comment after the game, when I see where he's coming from, you know, we didn't want to give the ball back to Mahomes
right.
in that situation. So what he's saying there is as much as against the defense. It's really more of a credit to Mahomes than probably anything else. So part of it, you know, if he had a top quarterback, which Garoppolo is not yet, maybe he would have looked at it differently, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I also say is he did take the shot to Kittle. And if they don't call the pass interference, they're going to come away with points. And I think, look, the Patriots make this have probably made it most famous. They wanted to close out the half by either scoring and not scoring and then start with the ball in the third quarter. So I think he strategically was using clock. And if they were going to score, look, if they don't call that pass interference on Kittle, they may get a touchdown. At the worst, they settle for a field goal.
Well, there was only 6 seconds left. They were kicking a field goal there. But my point is, yes, they did take the shot, but they let a minute burn off the clock. So I don't think that they were aggressive enough there.
Well, you know, you can take that point. His point is, I didn't want to give the ball back to Mahomes. So, to me, that's not the reason they lost the game.
Right.
He made the right call to Kittle. Yeah. I think, to me, somehow both of these teams didn't get the ball to the tight end enough. Especially on early downs. And why, I don't know. So.
Yeah, I thought Kittle would be more of a player, and they just didn't throw it to him enough. He only had 4 catches. I thought he was going to have 7 or 8.
Yeah, see, on third down, from television, you can't see a lot, but on third down, it looked like Kansas City was, being aggressive against them, and maybe that's a reason. I don't know. So,
right. Joined by Charlie Casley, former Redskins and Texans GM. I kind of wanted to get your GM perspective on what do you do with Mahomes. Of course, Kansas City doesn't want to lose Mahomes, right? But if they sign him to $200 million deal for 5 years, that's going to hurt them in terms of signing other players with the cap. Would you just ride out his contract and then they maybe franchise him down the road?
Play that game?
And play that, you know, kind of kick the can down the road so you can still bring back as many guys as possible.
I sign him as soon as you can.
Oh, really?
It's only going to get more expensive. If you get into the franchise game, you'll lose that one because the franchise numbers will be so high and the third year is impossible to sign the guy with the franchise number. Everybody has this problem eventually. But Seattle was able to overcome it. Green Bay won for years with a high-paid quarterback. The Colts with Manning won with a high-paid quarterback. Atlanta went to the Super Bowl with Matt Ryan with a high-paid quarterback. You can do it. You're just going to have to do a great job of drafting and developing players. So it's not impossible to do it. Philly, they won the division by paying Wentz a lot of money. And they had a lot of injuries this year up there. Their secondary wasn't very good. But, and again, you could say if they had more money, but, at some point you got to draft and develop. So it's inevitable to do it. And the longer you wait, the more it's going to cost.
Joined by Charlie Casserly, NFL Network analyst, former Skins and Texans GM. Lots of Skins fans are boo-hooing about Breland and Fuller picking off passes in the Super Bowl. They basically think that every player that departs from D.C. turns into a star elsewhere. Don't you think that's a bit overblown?
Totally. Those are the two of the targets in the game. Okay, you go after Breland. You go after Fuller. They are. They're not quality starting players at cornerback. What happens in the game there, Breland was getting beat. Okay, they had circled in on him. And Fuller made a nice play, but they moved Fuller out of corner because, he couldn't play corner. So, they're backup players in the league. And that's just people taking cheap shots without knowing what they're talking about.
Hey, Charlie, what do you think about the latest proposal from the owners? They want the 17 games starting in 21. They're willing to give up some more money, but the players really don't want to play that 17th game. I would assume that if this comes down to money, they're going to agree to it. We'll have to wait and see. But what do you think about that proposal?
Well, let's just focus. I'm not a fan of 17 games because I'm not a fan of taking away preseason games. My point is, how are you going to develop a young quarterback? If you just think of Haskins this year, four preseason games, I think he played eight quarters. I believe at least eight quarters. And then, you saw him get better. And then obviously once he got into the season and they gave him the full reps in practice and they adjusted the system to what he could do, the guy really played well at the end of the year. So now if you play two preseason games, how much does he get versus the guy who's going to start the season? So, I'm not saying you can't play 17, but, how are you going to develop a quarterback? That's my question.
If you had to guess, just reading the tea leaves, do you believe Rivera is a believer in Haskins?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Even though he's talking up Alex Smith potentially as being in the mix?
Well,
is he just being respectful?
I don't know. Well, he could take it either way. Smith was playing, starting to play well when he got hurt. Mm-hmm. Smith has played well in the past. So if Smith can play, that just makes you better. You play both of them. You find who the best one is and play him. So I think that's what he's looking at there. And he may be being respectful too. And, depending upon which article you read, you don't know if Smith will play again. So.
Right. Of these two teams, Charlie, the 49ers and the Chiefs, which is most likely best set up to be there next year?
Well, Kansas City, and you still got to give the edge to Mahomes, as Andy Reid said after the game. This guy will keep getting better, as all young players do. And where will he get better? Reading coverages. Every year you get better at that. And he made a big jump this year between his first year reading coverages and this year. Last year, it was pretty much one read and go. You don't see that now. He's got a good feel. You can tell he's got a good feel for things.
Right.
And, and when he runs, it's because the pass rush has got to him. He's got to buy time to throw the ball. So I would go with Kansas City. But, San Francisco will continue to be good.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that.
What do you think? What do you think they need to do in the offseason?
Well, cornerback.
Right.
Yeah, I think their pass rush bailed them out, really.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, they've varied the coverages, which is what they have to do. If you had just played simple zone against Mahomes, he'd ate him up all night. So you have to vary your coverages. So, that's one area. I think center and guard position there, are not a strength right now for him with what played last night. So look at that. But, obviously they've got a lot of positives. There. I think, Emmanuel Sanders got a lot of publicity, but really Deebo Samuel was the guy who was the impact receiver. So, another young receiver to upgrade him there. But secondary is the biggest thing, safety and corner.
All right, Charlie, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon. This is Charlie Cowley.
Thank you, buddy.
Now with the NFL
Network. Good to be with you now.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay, bye now.
Want to let everybody know you can donate your car today to the Purple Heart Foundation. Donating, it's easy, hassle-free, and your donation is tax-deductible. Last year, the Purple Heart Foundation provided assistance to over 18,000 of America's bravest veterans, helping them with VA benefits, coping with post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and providing suicide prevention assistance. You can be the difference. Donate your car today. Visit donatepurpleheart.org. That's donatepurpleheart.org.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so we mentioned this with Charlie Cassidy just a minute ago, but we probably should explore this and maybe just speculate. I tend to believe it doesn't mean much, but Ron Rivera did an interview, the new head coach of the Redskins, and he was asked about the quarterback position, and he said, "I also don't want to forget Alex Smith. Here's a guy that's been doing everything he can to come back. And he seemingly is leaving the door open for Smith to compete with Haskins for the starting job. Do you take this as a slight towards Haskins? Do you think he's just being respectful towards Alex Smith?" I tend to believe he's just being respectful towards Alex Smith, and it's not a slight towards Haskins.
I think he's trying to motivate Haskins.
Don't know if he's a total believer in Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah. He might not be.
Well, how could you be? He's far from a finished product.
Might not be.
I mean, he still has a long way to go in his development. Yeah. How could you be?
He's probably cautiously optimistic, but you know, it would be nice if he had a better option. Do you know what I mean? He's not necessarily thrilled about the idea.
You don't
of
think
having
he's hitched his wagon to Haskins, like some people thought, whoever comes here as the head coach, Snyder loves Haskins, they're going to be stuck with Haskins.
Well, I think he had to pay the lip service to say, yeah, I'm happy to work with the kid.
Yeah. But if Haskins doesn't work out, they got to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Haskins has one full season to prove to Ron Rivera that he could be the starting quarterback going ahead for the next 3 or 4 years.
Well, I think the reality is he might not even have one full season.
Yeah, but if he doesn't, then Rivera's going to start looking elsewhere.
Takes, he might have 6 weeks.
Maybe.
You never know how these coaches are going to be. What if he goes out there? I don't expect it. What if he poops the bed for 6 weeks? You think he's just going to play him for 16 games? I don't see it.
Probably not. That's why he needs and wants some competition there to kind of motivate Haskins and keep him on his toes and not think he's just being gifted, you know, 16 weeks worth of starts.
Now, that being said, I don't think Alex Smith is an option.
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't think it is either.
I mean, I would be shocked. That would be one of the most incredible comebacks in sports history.
Yeah.
If he went from almost dying.
Yeah.
Or certainly
17 surgeries.
Almost amputating the leg.
Right. You've seen the leg. I just can't even see a doctor clearing him to play, frankly.
Yeah.
Let alone being able to actually do it. That's what's shocking to me. But nevertheless, if you're a Haskins guy, you don't really want to hear this because you just want Haskins in there, and you're gonna at this point you're riding or dying with him,
right?
And you don't want any distraction. You don't like. Let's just say Alex has had this remarkable recovery that we can't fathom, and that Alex Smith is basically 95%. Like he's had an unbelievable comeback, and he's. Because if he is, he would beat out Dwayne Haskins, in my opinion.
Probably.
Alex Smith at 95% is going to beat out a kid who's played like 6 games.
Maybe by a little bit, but he's been a year and a half out of football. And let's be honest. I know that people, you know, admire him for trying to come back from his injury. He wasn't very good before the injury. He just wasn't. He was spectacular, but he was winning.
True.
He was winning
but
games.
He was not putting up numbers
that you need to compete in the modern day NFL. He just wasn't.
But he was taking care of the football, and for a new head coach, let's just say hypothetically, Alex Smith was capable enough to play, you might trust him more.
Yeah, but if I'm Ron Rivera, I'm going to go out on the market and I'm going to find what I think is a capable backup, a healthy, capable backup.
Oh yeah, yeah.
To push Dwayne Haskins. And if Haskins struggles, I'll give him the hook and I'll throw the ball to the backup and see if he can get the job done.
Right.
Now, hopefully that doesn't happen and Haskins takes that next step and he's the starter here for the next few years. But we just don't know that at this point, if that's going to be the case.
What if Rivera and the new personnel people fall in love with one of the quarterbacks?
I know, I was going to ask that. What if they're blown away by Tua?
Or Herbert.
I don't know.
I don't think they're going to make that move. I really believe you got to give Haskins a shot. I don't know if it'll be a full season. I think you got to give him a shot. But I do think if Haskins doesn't wow Rivera, he'll move on in year two.
I just think there's no guarantee of a full season. If he struggles,
right.
they're about now. They don't really care that much about developing you.
Right. Look at what happened in Miami. They brought it over Josh Rosen, and after a couple games, Fitzpatrick was running the show.
He was supposed to be the guy for years.
Yeah. I would agree, though. I think that he certainly deserves to be the number one guy all throughout the offseason. He has to be the number one guy in camp.
Get the number one reps.
Now, after half of a season, if he's regressing...
If he's just pooping the bed,
you've got to make a move. But he doesn't have enough time.
You have to help him.
He doesn't have enough time yet.
I don't think Rivera's in love with Haskins though.
Well, he also doesn't have.
We don't know where he had him in the draft. Like when he was in Carolina, obviously he scouted Dwayne Haskins, just doing his due diligence and talked to his personnel people. I think at best he's lukewarm on Haskins. Haskins can impress him and can win the job and be his guy for the next 5 years. Or Haskins can be, and then he's just going to move on.
Yeah. Well, you'd better get him another starting wideout, and he needs a tight end.
Yeah.
Agreed. You cannot go into 2020.
We talked about that on Friday.
I mean, you need to surround him with some weapons to help him succeed.
Well, they're definitely going to do something at tight end, because now Vernon Davis made it official, and he retired. Not that anybody expected him to be back.
Yeah, he was doing a bit with, Rob Gronkowski, and that's his retirement in a bit.
I can't believe how much run Gronk got on the pregame shows. Every time I turned it on, he was on.
I was too busy placing
bets.
Isn't
he terrible?
I wasn't paying any attention.
He's just a goofball.
He's a goofball.
I mean,
he's
out there dancing. They call it Gronk Beach, and he's got this DJ.
I was too busy picking losers to pay any attention to Gronk.
You were picking losers.
I picked all losers.
What am I doing?
Did you get some tickets too? JP have losers?
This is a winner. I win $91.50.
What was that one for?
I took the Chiefs on the money line.
Oh, okay.
I mean, a plus +4150.
So I've got Damian Williams over 29.5. He had 29. Let's rip this ticket into a billion pieces.
Loser,
that's a loser.
This was my grasper. Mecole Hardman with the longest reception of the game. $20 to win $240. I don't even know if he had a reception.
He did for 2 yards.
Yeah. both players scored. Williams and George Kittle finished.
Can't believe they didn't get
$20 up in smoke. They could have turned into 80, 4-1. And your guy, Raheem Mostert, he boned me real good, too. 89.5 total yards. I think he had 60.
So you had losers. You had zero winning tickets.
Losers. Again, I got to tell you, the self-betting kiosks.
Oh, they're amazing.
Are silly, especially for somebody like me that's kind of I'm a dummy when it comes to betting. Sometimes
are you embarrassed
going to the sports book? Sometimes you don't understand all
the
numbers.
Lingo.
That's easy.
Yeah.
It's silly.
Yeah, it's just you touch screen.
Slide your money in, touch screen.
Couldn't have been easier.
Futures, whatever you want.
Talking to Skippy yesterday morning, and he goes, let's go over 25 props. We'll just pick 25 props. There's 500 props to choose from. Let's just narrow it down to 25. And he says, 25 is enough. I said, okay. So we go prop by prop. We said, all right, do you like this? Do you not like it? So I had 25 on my list, and then I hung up the phone, and I went on my site, and I ended up with 34 props.
34. And how'd you do?
I tied a couple. I went 13, 19, and 2. But but three of my 13 wins got really good odds.
Yeah.
I was plus 225 or plus 250. So I probably broke even
on
the props. Pretty close. But my point was I couldn't help myself.
Yeah. I know.
I added 9 more props.
Right.
Yeah, but when you make that many, you can't win.
I know, but that's just the way.
It's a sickness. It's a sickness. It courses through your veins.
I see a prop that I like. I said, all right, I'll give it a shot.
Right.
I bet every field goal kicker to make a field goal in every quarter. So okay. each field goal, so Gold and Butker.
Yeah.
I bet that they would make a field goal in each quarter.
Right.
Because the odds were so good. And I think I hit 2 of the 8.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably lost a little bit of money. But I just, I had none of those props on my list before the game started. And I said,
couldn't help yourself.
I saw plus 250, plus 275.
You're not disciplined.
I said, screw it. I got to take a chance.
Coming up next, the great John Clayton, now a Washington Post NFL columnist, joins us here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.